Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
ECISD urges students to fill out financial aid forms. By Ruth Campbell. With college costs in the tens of thousands, Ector County ISD officials and counselors are urging students to fill out their free application for federal student aid before the end of March. The subject was discussed Thursday night on an ECISD live broadcast over Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. It was moderated by Superintendent Scott Murray. Alicia Siverson, Assistant Superintendent for Student and School Support, said the average cost for public universities in Texas is $25,626 a year and $40,155 per year if you live out of state. Odessa High School graduate Karime Gutierrez said a text from Moreno was a prime factor in getting her to college. She is majoring in human science at Texas Tech University and plans to go on for her master's degree. The 2017 graduate said the FAFSA application was a blessing. Gutierrez said she was able to use her FAFSA funds to pay for tuition and books, and anything left over could be used for books and food. She also discovered when she attended Odessa College that she was eligible for aid under the Hazelwood Act. Its website said the Hazelwood Act is a Texas benefit that provides qualified veterans, spouses, and dependent children with an education benefit of up to 150 hours of tuition exemption, including most fee charges at public higher education institutions in Texas. The site said it does not include living expenses, books, or supply fees. Gutierrez said she also received a scholarship for her major in human sciences. Eventually, she said she hopes to have a private home daycare center. The FAFSA has really helped me, she said. I don't know that I would have been able to pay for college. I'm really grateful that Ms. Moreno sent out that text. The free application for federal student aid can be found on studentaid.gov. It is completely online and takes about an hour to fill out, Siverson said. The application also is used to figure out whether a student is eligible for other scholarships. There is also the Texas application for financial aid. Siverson said this is equally as important. It is filled out on paper and you submit it to the college of your choice in Texas. If you are a non-citizen, she said, you need to fill out this application. She noted that there is more information on your campus website and your school counselor can help with that. In the 2021-22 school year, Siverson said it will become a graduation requirement for students to fill out the FAFSA, Texas Application for Financial Aid, or fill out an opt-out request. Odessa High School Counselor Angelica Moreno said citizens should complete the FAFSA application and non-citizens should fill out the Texas application for financial aid. Permian High School Counselor Jennifer Perkins said filling out the FAFSA is a chance for students to see how much financial aid they could get. Other loans, grants, and work-study opportunities may also become available. Moreno said getting federal financial aid is not automatic. It's based on economic need as far as Pell Grants go. Schools are going to look at whether you qualify for federal aid before they give out scholarships, whether it is athletic, merit, or another type, Moreno said. Perkins said the Texas application for financial aid can help students qualify for state funding, institutional scholarships, or work study. Moreno and Perkins said many students and families see cost as a barrier. We see it every day, Perkins said. Students will put up those barriers. Well, I'm not going to go to college. My parents make too much money. I'm not going to qualify for financial aid. But there are academic and merit scholarships. Whatever your status is, there are so many opportunities for money. Statistics show $1 to $3 million goes unclaimed every year because students won't fill out that application, Perkins added. Murray agreed that there is a lot of money left on the table that is not awarded simply because students don't fill out the application. Every high school in ECISD has resources for financial aid. Parent meetings also are held. Perkins said with the economic downturn in this area, colleges and universities understand that parents may not be making the same amount they were in 2019. Financial aid offices have special circumstances forms that are available on those university websites, or you can contact her or Moreno to find out where they are. Amy Anderson, District Director of AVID, Advancement Via Individual Determination, discussed the To and Through Success Center. Once you graduate from high school, ECISD is still there to support you, Anderson said. She noted that this is a new effort this year. We want to take care of our community near and far because that's what families do. In our Success Center, we offer tutorials, which Anderson said can be for current or former students. Test preparation help is also offered. To contact the To and Through Success Center, you can call the AVID department at 432-456-8549 or email Anderson at amy.anderson@ectorcountyisd.org. Local Law Enforcement Ready as Inauguration Approaches by Royal McGregor. Though Odessa is nearly 1,700 miles from Washington, D.C., local law enforcement agencies are taking extra precautions as the presidential inauguration is scheduled for Wednesday. Odessa Police Department Chief Michael Gerke and Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths each told the Odessa American over the phone Thursday afternoon that they haven't heard of any activities, protests, or riots set to take place in Odessa. Despite no immediate threat, Gerke said his officers will be on high alert for the next couple weeks. We've reached out to our state and federal partners for intel, and we keep getting updates about everything and anything, Gerke said. We haven't heard anything that's giving us a whole heck of a lot of concern right now. However, we are going to be ready. We are going to have reaction forces ready. It won't be just for that day. We will have contingency plans beginning today. Griffiths also echoed that he hasn't heard of any planned protests or riots. He said Thursday afternoon that he plans on meeting with his deputies about being alert that if protests do arise, that they are peaceful. I don't foresee it happening in Odessa, but I wholeheartedly believe that places like Austin and other capitals throughout the country, there's going to probably be some kind of protests, but hopefully they will all be peaceful and no one will get hurt, Griffiths said. The Department of Justice issued a statement Wednesday afternoon for an extra layer of deterrent that Texas doesn't experience a repeat of the January 6th riots at the nation's capital. The press release stated U.S. attorneys who represent the four districts in Texas have announced their intent to prosecute any crimes committed at the state capitol or elsewhere in violation of federal law ahead of the upcoming presidential inauguration. During this time of polarized political discord, freedom of speech is an important right that must be safeguarded. But those who threaten to harm others, commit acts of violence, destroy property, or attack law enforcement must be held accountable for their criminal behavior, U.S. Attorney Greg N. Sofer stated in the press release. Now, more than ever, we must respect the rule of law. The Texas United States Attorney's Offices, along with our federal, state, and local law enforcement partners, will pursue federal charges against those who refuse to do so. Local News Roundup. Volunteers needed. The West Texas Food Bank, 1601 West Cliff Drive in Midland, has scheduled Martin Luther King Jr. National Day of Service from 9 to 11 a.m. Monday. Volunteers work independently and as a team to prepare pantry boxes, which are distributed to our pantries and partner agencies and the communities they serve. To sign up for guidelines or more information, visit tinyurl.com/Y4VNKDQF. Concert. Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale will be showcasing their masterwork series with Mostly Mozart, 7:30 p.m. January 30th at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center in Midland. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. Opening the program is the overture to The Abduction from the Seraglio. A hugely successful opera Mozart was commissioned to write at the young age of 26. This lighthearted piece is known for its interesting use of percussion instruments and rousing finish. Audiences will also enjoy Mozart's 41st symphony, Jupiter. The lengthiest and final symphony he composed is widely regarded among the greatest symphonies in the classical music repertoire. Maestro Lewis has chosen Karen Crutchfield, MOSC principal oboist, as the featured musician. Currently in her 25th season with the orchestra, Karen is an accomplished musician and longtime music educator. Her talents will be showcased in David Mulliken's Oboe Concerto. For tickets or more information, visit tinyurl.com/Y606X5HA. Obituaries for Saturday, January 16th. Jane Trulock Majors, Midland. Jane Trulock Majors, born September 13th, 1922 in Paris, Texas, to V.R. and Jenny Trulock, passed away. She married Sam L. Buzz Majors in 1947. Jane is survived by her sons, Lee Majors and wife Mary Ann of Midland, Mark Majors of Horseshoe Bay, 5 grandchildren, 9 great-grandchildren, and several nephews and cousins. A funeral service will be held at 2 p.m. Monday, January 18th at Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Interment will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park. She will be laid to rest next to her husband. Live streaming of the service will be available at www.npwelch.com. Condolences can be sent to the family at www.npwelch.com. Clara Eileen Storms Sissel. Clara Eileen Storms Sissel, 86, passed away January 11th. She was born May 9th, 1934, in Hugoton, Kansas. She was preceded in death by her parents, Irva and Hattie Storms, an infant son, Tony Ursel Sissel, brothers George, Robert, and Ralph Storms, and sisters Helen, Clemmy, Pearl, Alice, and Joyce Ann. Surviving her are her son, Craig Sissel, and his wife, Linda of Rockwall, daughter, Nanette Phillips, and husband, Lanny of Odessa, son, Lonnie Sissel, and wife, Lana of Odessa, 7 grandchildren and their spouses, and 8 great-grandchildren. Celebration of life services will be held at 10 a.m. Wednesday, January 20th, at Crossroads Fellowship with Pastor David Newton officiating. Please wear your brightest, sparkly outfits. In lieu of flowers, please make donations to Crossroads Fellowship or a military charity of your choice. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign her guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. William Lamar Knighton, Midland. William Lamar Bill Knighton passed away January 9th after a brief illness. Bill was the firstborn to William and Evie Knighton in Amity, Arkansas, August 24, 1929. He is survived by Martha Knighton, his wife of 30 years, his children Alan and Patricia Knighton of Albuquerque, New Mexico, Margaret and husband Ron Leach, James and Jackie Knighton, and Brian and wife Jeannie Knighton, all of Odessa, stepsons Miguel Marquez and Abel Marquez Sr., his brother Larry Knighton, 9 grandchildren, and numerous nieces, nephews, in-laws, and great-grandchildren. A viewing was held Saturday, January 16th at the First Assembly of God Church in Odessa. A celebration of life memorial service is planned for a future date. In lieu of flowers, donations can be made in his honor to Operation Smile at www.operationsmile.org or by phone at 1-888-249-3797. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign his guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Samuel Lloyd Armour, Sr., Louisville. Sam leaves to cherish his memories, his wife of 60 years, Mae Francis, daughter Shawanda, and husband Marcus Henderson, Flower Mound, son Samuel Jr. and wife Latanya Armour of Odessa, 4 grandchildren, a great-granddaughter, his siblings Fanny and husband Joe Fair of Dallas, Pearl Len, and wife Brenda of Armour of the Colony, Ruby Fay and husband D.C. Sneed of Grand Prairie, Lily Nixon of Grand Prairie, Lyndon Armour of Duncanville, and a host of family and friends. You can see his full obituary at thrashfuneralchapel.com. Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, January 17th, 2021. Section A. ECISD Working Toward Serving 1,000 3-Year-Olds by Ruth Campbell. In the coming school year, Ector County ISD plans to start serving about 1,000 3-year-old pre-kindergarten students. At the Board of Trustees workshop January 12th, the board discussed a partnership with the Odessa Family YMCA to accommodate the expansion in August 2021. Through the Call for Quality Schools, the Odessa Family YMCA completed a rigorous process conducted by a diverse committee, the board recap said. The Y currently serves children 6 weeks to 12 years old at its existing 3 locations. It plans to use its new building on Pagewood Avenue as the site for 150 3-year-olds with potential for expansion, the recap said. The Y has a whole child educational plan and academic model designed for literacy development and logical math discovery that lead to kindergarten readiness, one of the primary tenets of ECISD's strategic plan. The school board must still approve this partnership at next week's meeting and then negotiate a contract with the YMCA, the recap said. The meeting is scheduled for 6 p.m. Tuesday in the first floor boardroom of the administration building, 802 North Sam Houston. Face masks are required and health screenings will be conducted. Associate Superintendent of Curriculum and Instruction, Lilia Nanez, said ECISD serves 93 3-year-olds and has room for more at Carver and Lamar Early Education Centers. Some of those are like the child find, where we find children that may have special needs. They're not labeled as special needs yet because they're so young, but we do serve 3-year-olds both at Carver and Lamar right now. We also allow employees' 3-year-old children to attend those classes as well, Nanez said. The goal of pre-kindergarten is to prepare children for kindergarten. When you think about what kindergarten readiness means, it's having pre-reading and writing skills, working on your gross and fine motor skills, developing language and communication, focusing on health and wellness, cooperation. Those are some of the indicators for kindergarten readiness, so we focus on those for our three-year-old children, Nanez said. We also teach health and wellness, the importance of washing your hands, brushing your teeth, just teaching good hygiene, exercise. We provide balanced meals, so health and wellness, social and emotional well-being is just so important, she added. Nanez said, there is space to serve as many as 200 three-year-olds at Carver and Lamar. Our goal is to fill those classrooms first with three-year-olds and four-year-olds. We have engaged in a Call for Quality Schools 1882 Innovation Partnerships. We've gone through that process and interviewed two possible partners. We will be taking a possible partner to the board for approval this month in January, Nanez said. The partnership will increase capacity to accommodate children. The decision to pursue offering school to three-year-olds came from Superintendent Scott Murray's Look, Listen, and Learn tour when he first arrived. 57% of kindergartners who attended pre-kindergarten were not kindergarten ready in 2019, and 65% of kindergartners were not ready for kindergarten in 2019, a previous Odessa American article said. Pre-kindergarten for four-year-olds was increased to a full day, and the three-year-old program will be half a day. Whenever the board approves a partner, the employees and all of that is up for negotiation. Obviously, we want certified teachers who can lead a team of paraprofessionals, so all of that will be up for negotiation in the partnership contract, Nanez said. We're probably going to use a model similar to multi-classroom leader model from our opportunity culture, where one certified teacher kind of mentors and works with a team of teachers. We will use that model with our three-year-old program. So we'll have a certified teacher who will work with several caregivers to provide the curriculum to teach model and just build the capacity of the caregiver, Nanez added. She stressed that nothing is set in stone yet because the board has to approve the partner. Then once approval is made this month in January, then it's part of the negotiation for the contract. We have to have everything ready by March, but we want to get those negotiations done as soon as possible so then that application can be completed and submitted to the Texas Education Agency. She added that just knowing the impact the district can have on that large amount of students is exciting. Adding the three-year-old students makes sense, Executive Director of Leadership Andrea Martin said in an email. These students and families would be a part of our district and would be provided support and quality instruction at an even earlier age. We have the talent and desire to serve these babies in ECISD. The planning and conversations around this new initiative have been very engaging and exciting as we continue to think about the possibilities. The pandemic has reduced numbers among its pre-kindergarten ranks, but she indicated the district is confident many more students will join up. ECISD will work with the partner to orient the parents, offering visits prior to school starting so they can become familiar with the facility. She added that pre-registration is important. We do a lot of recruitment prior to school starting, and that starts in the spring. So we will be doing that with our partner, just like we do with our pre-K roundup and our kindergarten roundup, Nanez said. To be eligible for free pre-kindergarten, you must have a language other than English, qualify for free and reduced lunch, be homeless, have guardians in the military, be in foster care, or have a guardian who has the Star of Texas designation, meaning a first responder, law enforcement, or military member killed or injured in the line of duty. The cost is $200 a month for tuition. She noted that the number of children who enroll for pre-kindergarten will depend on the health crisis and how Ector County looks over the summer. We are all hoping that the vaccine has a positive impact on the health situation in Ector County and that folks testing positive are reduced. It's all just based on that. if things are much improved, which is what we're anticipating, then we anticipate we'll have many more pre-K families and kindergarten families show up. Really, across the state and across the nation, there's been a reduction in pre-K kids who have enrolled because of the pandemic. Parents have chosen to keep their children at home for their safety. It's not just here, but it's across the state and across the country, Nanya said. She added that the majority of pre-kindergarten students are in classrooms currently. We don't have very many of them who are doing remote learning. We do that as an option for any of our parents' children to be in a building. But the bulk of our four-year-olds right now are in classrooms. That is a good thing. We are just very hopeful that the conditions will be much improved when school starts, and that we want our children in our buildings, Nanya said. New Hispanic Chamber leader ready to go. Small business owner says he will get group back on track, by Federico Martinez. He's a successful business owner who also founded and oversees a world-class education and performing arts program in Odessa. Paul Garza's next challenge may be his most ambitious yet. As the new CEO of the Odessa Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, Garza wants to make the chamber relevant again by returning to the group's original mission, helping business owners and budding entrepreneurs find their own success. Hispanics own thousands of businesses in Odessa, said Garza, who started his new job at the chamber Monday. It wouldn't surprise me if the majority of businesses in Odessa are Hispanic-owned. But that's what bothers me. We have all these resources, a buffet of resources, but we still need to get to the table. Garza, who served on the chamber board for 2 years before being hired as the organization's new CEO, has reason to be optimistic, though. The organization has a strong new board that is passionate about the chamber's mission, he said. Garza's shared passion for that same mission is also evident. During his first week on the job, Garza has already reached out to dozens of local Hispanic business owners to pitch the benefits of remaining or becoming new members of the Hispanic Chamber Group. That's a difficult task because previous leaders of the organization didn't do a very good job of recruiting or making good on providing services promised to due-paying members, he said. The Hispanic Chamber kind of lost its way over the years, Garza said. It got away from its mission, which is to support and serve the interests of businesses in the community. I can't even tell you how many members we currently have because nobody kept track of it. That's where Garza's extensive digital marketing experience through his company, RPG Digital, helps, he said. Garza and his assistant, Serena Banduelos, are already working on promoting the chamber and have already partnered with Odessa's Small Business Center to begin offering workshops in February for small business owners and entrepreneurs. The monthly workshops will tackle such topics as how to write a business plan, marketing and financial planning, business fundamentals that everyone should know, Garza said. A basic annual membership costs $150 and includes free admission to all chamber workshops and events, Garza said. Those events include opportunities to meet other business owners and discuss similar ideas or concerns. A community meeting with Garza is planned for February 5th at the Marriott Conference Center. For more information or event dates, visit the chamber's website at odessahcc.com or call the office at 432-339-6422. A Hispanic chamber organization is important because it can focus on cultural issues that might be unique to the Hispanic community, Garza said. Sometimes language barriers exist, or Hispanic business owners feel embarrassed or awkward asking questions at larger Odessa Chamber of Commerce meetings where members are predominantly Caucasian, he said. The goal is to eventually get members of the Hispanic Chamber to join the larger group. Garza was born in Odessa and later graduated from Permian High School. He briefly attended Texas A&M University, where he majored in music education. But he realized he was an entrepreneur at heart and dropped out to start his own business. After several failed attempts, he found success with his marketing business 5 years ago. He also founded the nonprofit Tall City Performing Arts, which in 5 years has grown to more than 25 staff and hundreds of students. He's shooting for similar results for the Hispanic Chamber. We have a lot of work to do, recruiting new members, developing community partnerships, and writing grants that will allow us to expand, Garza said. But I'm excited about what we're doing.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Sunday, January 17th, 2021. Opinion. Texas View. The transition from fossil fuel is an opportunity for Texas. The Point. We urge lawmakers and state leaders to see the transition away from fossil fuels as an opportunity. Day one of the Joe Biden administration is only a few days away, and so are a series of executive orders aimed at kickstarting the new president's ambitious clean energy agenda as part of his promise to forcefully combat climate change. With the oil and gas industry making up about 30% of the Texas economy and more than a third of Houston's GDP, how the Lone Star State responds to these measures and to proposed climate legislation will invariably impact our future. That impact will not only be felt economically. Intensifying storms due to climate change threaten millions of lives in the region and our city's very existence. Judging by past actions, the political response will be cynically simple. Texas Democrats will drag their feet and talk about the complexity of the energy industry, while Republicans will pummel their opponents and label any relation, any regulation as a job killer. But attitudes are changing among Texans and the oil industry itself. We urge lawmakers and state leaders to see the transition away from fossil fuels not as an obstacle or even a challenge, but as an opportunity. Among what are expected to be Biden's initial wave of executive orders are limits on methane emissions for oil and gas operations, requiring public companies to disclose climate risks and greenhouse gas emissions, consideration of greenhouse gas emissions and climate change on federal permitting decisions, new fuel economy and energy efficiency standards, and a freeze on new oil and gas leasing in federal lands and waters, including the Gulf of Mexico. The only thing radical about Biden's agenda is the same thing that's always been astounding about America's stance on climate change among advanced nations, that we have been content with doing so little for so long, or worse, moving backward, as President Donald Trump took the United States out of the Paris Climate Accord and worked to roll back more than 100 environmental rules. Biden's climate strategy is seen by many activists as not doing enough, with objections to his support of nuclear power, hydroelectric dams, and carbon capture and storage as a giveaway to industry. While an argument can be made that a more aggressive response is needed, all viable options must be on the table, and any real change will require industry support. On the other side, there are still some stubborn holdouts, but just as denial that the climate was changing at all morphed into a more narrow denial that it was caused by human activity, the debate is now shifting to how quickly we must act and what are reasonable economic sacrifices. A recent University of Houston study found that more than 80% of Texans believe in climate change, and most said they are willing to pay more for power produced in a more environmentally conscious way, whether it's from renewable energy sources or from natural gas produced without venting or flaring. Demand for oil will recover after the pandemic abates, but major oil companies recognize that the future is not fossil fuels and that a large-scale transition to clean energy is only a matter of time as pressure from the government and the private sector intensifies. Investment firms such as BlackRock and Goldman Sachs have announced a move away from fossil fuels, and Bank of America recently joined other major U.S. banks in refusing to finance oil and gas exploration in the Arctic. Fortunately, Texas is already farther along than many realize. Nationally, the state ranks first in wind power and third in battery storage capacity. The state is fifth in solar, but the sector is seeing explosive growth, with a $1.6 billion solar farm, the country's largest, opening outside of Dallas in 2023. Texas is also growing its footprint in the electric vehicle market, with Tesla building a manufacturing plant near Austin. There will undoubtedly be economic pain as some jobs go away and others take their place, and the state must be ready to offer support through training programs and education for displaced workers. But many in our workforce, especially here in Houston, are already positioned for the future. Nowhere else in the world is there such a concentration of scientists, engineers, and economists who understand energy systems and can affect the necessary change, Bobby Tudor, head of the Greater Houston Partnership, said. For too long, Texas being business-friendly has been a euphemism for growth at the expense of the environment and public health. If the state is a full and willing participant in the transition away from fossil fuels, everyone can share in the benefits, and the energy capital of the world can be the leader in helping save the planet. Houston Chronicle.
Obituaries for Sunday, January 17th. James Dean, J.D. Abel. James Dean, J.D. Abel, 74, passed away January 9th in Odessa. He was born December 24th, 1946, to James and Myrtle Abel in Chelsea, Oklahoma. He married Rita Ann in 1991 in Las Vegas, New Mexico. He is survived by his stepchildren, Rhonda Hodges, Cindy Kelly and husband Bert, Jeff Hodges and Sheila Williams, 7 grandchildren and 3 great-grandchildren, an aunt and uncle, and numerous cousins. He is preceded in death by his wife Rita Ann and his parents James C. and Marie Abel and his sister Sherry Saunders and her husband Mark. Lyda Erin Beard. Lyda Erin Beard, 95, of Fort Worth, passed away January 14th. Lyda was born to Jack and Helen Clements, February 25th, 1925, in Houston. She married Otis Byron Beard in 1945, and they were married for 50 years. She was preceded in death by her husband, Otis Byron Beard, a son, William Bill Duane Beard, and sister, Tiny Groda. She is survived by her sons, Byron Patrick and wife Linda Beard of Arkansas, Michael Aaron and wife Sharon Beard of Odessa, and Charles Stephen Beard of Fort Worth, as well as many grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and other family members. A gravesite service is scheduled for Tuesday, January 19th at 1 p.m. at Sunset Memorial Gardens in Odessa. The family requests that in lieu of flowers, consideration is given to a charity of your choice. Consuelo Lavender. Flower Mound. Consuelo Lavender, 79, passed away Monday, January 11th. A memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. Tuesday, January 19th at Elmwood Funeral Home in Abilene. Consuelo was born November 28th, 1941, in Chihuahua, Mexico, to Pedro and Otilia Gonzalez. She married Willard Lavender in 1970 in Odessa. Consuelo is preceded in death by her parents, her husband Willard, her siblings Faustino Laria, Manuel Laria, and Glelia Gonzalez, stepsons Eugene Lavender and Stacy Lavender. She is survived by her daughter Michelle Scott and husband Thomas, stepson Teddy Lavender, a granddaughter, and two brothers, Tino Laria and Chago Laria. Online condolences and memories may be shared with the family through the obituary link at www.elmwoodfuneral.com. Joseph Phil McClary. Joseph McClary, 79, of Morgan's Point Resort, passed away Thursday, January 14th. Joe was born July 29, 1941, in Portsmouth, Virginia, the son of Eugene William McClary and Ruth Madeline Brower McClary. He married his wife Dolly Dot Dottie Harris in 1961, and they enjoyed almost 60 years together. Surviving him are his wife, Dottie McClary of Morgan's Point Resort, two sons, Bronson McClary and wife Monica of Melbourne, Florida, and Brian McClary and wife Vicky of Conroe, a daughter, Dottie Jo McClary of Dallas, three brothers, Larry McClary of Tulsa, Oklahoma, Ronnie Mitchell and wife Kay of Chickasha, Oklahoma, and Jack Mitchell of Tulsa, Oklahoma, a sister, Laura Jean Dahl of Yale, Oklahoma, six grandchildren and 10 great-grandchildren. Visitation was held Sunday at Dossman Funeral Home in Belton. Graveside services will be held Monday at Bellwood Memorial Park at 2 p.m. with Reverend Bill Campbell officiating. Memorials may be given to Gideon's International at gideons.org/donate or Lions Club International, lionsclubs.org. Tommy Dean Stanford. Tommy Dean Stanford, 71, of Odessa, passed away January 10th. Funeral services will be held at 10 a.m. Monday, January 18th, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home Chapel, with David Newton of Crossroads Church officiating. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Tommy Dean Stanford was born in Madill, Oklahoma, to Ernest J. Stanford and Ovella Asley Teal, June 26, 1949. He married Patty Swanson Woods in 2007 in Odessa, and they were together for 23 years. Tom is preceded in death by his parents, Ernest J. and Ovella Stanford, a brother, Ernest D. Stanford, sister, Elsie Dover Spike, and a nephew, his son-in-law, David Bosworth, and mother-in-law, Shirley Swanson. Tom is survived by his wife, Patty, his children, Shane Stanford, and wife, Jerry, of Enid, Oklahoma, Felicia Stanford Bosworth of Fairmont, Oklahoma, Tina Stanford Stelly and husband Don of Wagner, Oklahoma, Bobby Woods, Crystal Woods, Michelle Woods, and husband Brian Sosa of Odessa, his brother Hollis Stanford, sister Rethia Stanford Alexander, his father-in-law Bob Swanson and wife Janet, 10 grandchildren, a great-grandson, several nephews and nieces. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign his guestbook at www.sunsetodessa.com. Death notices. Maria L. Cadena. Maria L. Cadena, 90, died Thursday, January 14th in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory, Odessa. Daryl Dean Moore. Daryl Dean Moore, 75, of Midland, died Wednesday, January 13th. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Olga Lopez Operud. Olga Lopez Operud, 57, died Sunday, January 10th in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Juan Jose San Miguel. Juan Jose San Miguel, 71, died Thursday, January 7th in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Fanny Jo Smith. Fanny Jo Smith, 85, of Odessa, died Saturday, January 9th in Dallas. A graveside service is scheduled for 11 a.m. January 18th at Sunset Memorial Gardens in Odessa. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Sylvia Subia Garcia, 53, died Friday, January 8th in Midland. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Reverend William Bill Tatum, 91, died Friday, January 8th in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Julian H. Tanis Villa, 79, died Wednesday, January 6th in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. When the source of pain is not where you think it is. Dear Dr. Roach, I am a 79-year-old woman in reasonably good health. I am very active and do everything I can for my health. Whenever I feel a cold coming on, which is rare, I have pain on the left side of my throat when I swallow and get a stabbing pain in my head every 5 to 10 seconds. I worry about stroke, and my husband thinks I may have a brain aneurysm. My doctor says he never heard of a correlation like that. When my throat feels better, the stabs in my head are gone. What do you think? HB. Answer. I agree with your doctor that it is very unlikely to be warning signs of stroke or an aneurysm. Stroke warning signs usually involve loss of function, temporary vision loss, difficulty speaking, dizziness, confusion or numbness or weakness, especially on one side of the body. Most unruptured aneurysms have no symptoms, but some of the stroke symptoms above can occur, or headache and visual changes. What I think you have is referred pain. The pain in the throat feels like it is coming from a different area, in this case, your head. The fact that it only occurs with a viral infection is strong evidence. It is not a warning sign of one of these dreaded conditions.
This is Kay, reading the Odessa American for Monday, January 18th, 2021, etc. Husband throws a wrench in wife's exercise plans. Dear Abby, as a way to manage my stress and anxiety when COVID hit, I started to exercise. Neither my husband, Chris, nor I had ever been into fitness at all. As the months have gone on, I have realized the power of being healthy, and I try to exercise every day. The problem? Chris is angry. He calls it me time and has made it very difficult for me to go. I tried swimming in the morning before work, but he said he couldn't manage at home to get our 2-year-old ready for school. I tried to go to the gym in the early evening, but he said he needs me to help get the children ready for bed. I tried running later at night, but it didn't feel safe, and I also had trouble falling asleep. Abby, I don't know what to do. Last night he told me I'm selfish and should move out. Can you help me? Keeping my sanity. Dear Keeping, establishing a routine of regular exercise wasn't selfish. It was the right thing to do. People have been experiencing symptoms of depression and extreme stress since this pandemic began. It is more important now than ever that you continue to take care of your physical and emotional health, and it's a shame your husband didn't do the same. Rather than prevent you from doing what you have been doing, your husband should have praised you. Could he be jealous or threatened by what you have accomplished? That he would say something so extreme as, "You should move out," was childish. Who would look after the kids then? A mature approach would be for the two of you to agree upon a schedule in which he either dresses the kids in the morning or tucks them in at night. It not only would be a lot less expensive than a divorce, but your husband might even grow to enjoy it. Dear Abby, I am a divorced father of two, both over 18. I have been dating a divorced mother of three. Her children are between the ages of 7 and 12. We are really good together, and we would like to make a life together. The problem is, she's reluctant to let her ex-husband know about me for fear of his violent reaction. She has no lingering feelings toward him other than fear. Because of this, she doesn't want her kids to know we are romantically involved. They think I'm just a friend. She gets defensive when I bring this up. We have been seeing each other for a couple of years now. I love her, but I'm starting to get the feeling this will never move forward. What should I do? And how long should I wait? Tentative in California. Dear Tentative, I wish you had written sooner. It appears that although the woman you're involved with is divorced, she is far from free. If she's afraid her ex will become violent if she makes her relationship with you official, and he has acted violently toward her in the past, she should contact her local police department and report it. She may also want to consider a restraining order and/or supervised visitation when he sees the children. If she is unwilling to free herself, then for your own sake, end the relationship because it will never progress. Dear readers, today we remember the Reverend Martin Luther King, Jr., who was martyred in the cause of civil rights in 1968. His words ring as true today as when he first uttered them. We must accept finite disappointment, but we must never lose infinite hope. His was a voice of reason in a time of insanity, silenced too soon. Abby. Dear Abby, Abigail Van Buren, write Dear Abby at P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California 90069, or visit www.dearabby.com.
Horoscopes. Happy birthday for Monday, January 18th, 2021. Unique, imaginative, and playful, you like to keep life light, but demand a heavy dose of excitement and adventure to keep you stimulated. This year, you dream up a project that proves very successful. If single, you attract many and have fun, but don't seriously commit this year. If attached, there is trust and sharing with your partner as you live out your dreams. Capricorn keeps you grounded and secure. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21st through April 19th. 5 stars. It's easy to express yourself today. Commitments made now will stick, so be cautious if considering a promise that could entangle. Focus on image improvement. Celebrate with some new wardrobe items. You'll be able to accurately assess situations. Tonight, your very own fashion show. Taurus, April 20th through May 20th, 4 stars. Imagery and affirmations bring contentment. During a meditation session, a solution to a problem arrives. Reach out to others. Love and friendship are there if you are receptive. It's a great day for creative projects. Tonight, early bedtime and lots of rest. Gemini, May 21st through June 20th, 4 stars. Your success will be directly affected by the effort you expend today. Double-check contracts and communications related to your work. Friends and partners will make plans for you and offer advice. Tonight, join that club you never thought would want you as a member. Cancer, June 21st through July 22nd, 5 stars. Today is very promising for recognition, a promotion, or an opportunity for added income. It also favors group projects and community service. This could involve you in politics. You deal with old conflicts and frustrations with aplomb. Tonight, online networking. Leo, July 23rd through August 22nd, 4 stars. Take a break. Accept invitations. A visit to a childhood friend or family member who has been out of touch can set the scene for a magical respite. You touch the hearts of others with your eloquent writing and speaking. Tonight, feeling relief. Virgo, August 23rd through September 22nd, 3 stars. Your mind is working overtime. An old love or dream may be discarded suddenly. Read between the lines. There is much to be learned through listening and observing. The status quo regarding romance and friendship could be upset. Tonight, analyzing it all. Libra, September 23rd through October 22nd, 5 stars. Today creates a stabilizing support system. The good people in your life bring special blessings. Longtime friendships and old loves generate a comfortable warmth during these chilly days of winter. A spouse or partner is about to become more successful. Tonight, attempt a date night. Scorpio, October 23rd through November 21st, 3 stars. It is a good time to get organized. Complete projects that have been in progress for too long. Memories of a childhood animal companion can be especially poignant today. Tonight, a charitable donation to animal charities would be a great way to acknowledge this. Sagittarius, November 22nd through December 21st, 5 stars. Your personality opens new doors today. Express your creativity. Problems can be solved and decisions made. Instinctively, you will say and do all the right things to increase trust and bonding with children. Tonight, dance and listen to your favorite music. Capricorn, December 22nd through January 19th, 5 stars. Today heightens your devotion to relatives or your extended family and illuminates the important roles they play in your life. Family dynamics will be especially upbeat. Take time off to care for your home and enjoy family life. Tonight, relaxing with loved ones. Aquarius, January 20th through February 18th, 3 stars. Vehicles can be unreliable or directions lost. Try to stay in familiar surroundings. Use care in communication, for messages can be lost or misconstrued. Carrying a talisman of citrine for clarity can be most helpful. Tonight, the mental cobwebs will be swept away. Pisces, February 19th through March 20th, 4 stars. Earning enough to pay for new treasures will absorb your attention today. Enthusiasm to add to your income is at an all-time peak. However, be careful not to overwork. Tonight, enjoy all that you have, rather than lamenting that which eludes.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.